I can say amen to that song. The only real peace that I have is from the Lord. It doesn't come from myself or from my surroundings or from anyone else. Oh, you can get some temporary peace, perhaps, but the real peace comes from the Lord. And I have something been burdened about for a while. I've shared some thoughts about this before, but I feel impressed to do it again. It seems the longer this world goes on, this continues to be a plague of not just our nation, it's worldwide an issue. And I don't, for myself, I don't see that it's improving any. My burden tonight is about depression and with the subtitle of discouragement. And I want to write that on the board here. I'll be honest with you, this is not a fun subject to discuss, but it is a reality, and it's something I believe, even if you've never experienced depression, you've experienced discouragement. But I think it would be good for all of us to perhaps be aware of this need, this trouble that a lot of folks have nowadays, because there's a part we can do to help others as well. And we sang the song earlier, "We Need Each Other," and that is so true in the church. But you know, it's also true with just mankind in general, that we need each other. Just in a general sense, that there's others that maybe don't know a thing about God. They need you too. They need your encouraging words, your smile, your helping hand, whatever it is. So I got a question. If you were the devil, what tool do you think would be the most effective at hindering God's work or God's people? Well, I think discouragement would probably be the best answer for that. Because you see, if the devil can take the edge off of what you're trying to do for the Lord and trying to live for Him, and maybe you stub your toe and you get tripped up a little bit, or you just kind of dragging along for a while. You know, that happens. No doubt we've all been in that position. And basically, you could say depression is just another level deeper than discouragement. Because you can get discouraged and just kind of, it's a temporary thing. But depression is something where you actually stay there for a while. And it's a tool that the devil uses in many different forms. And we'll get into that here in a moment. But I want to read a scripture in 3 John, the first chapter. That this is God's plan for us. It's very simple. It's a short scripture. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So truly, if you are discouraged, or a step further than that, if you are depressed, then you're not prospering. You see, so yet a person may find themselves in this position, but the challenge that I'm going to leave with us tonight, and for all mankind, not just us, but for those that maybe we have contact with, let's not stay in that position. That's dangerous. Because then the devil can start using that to put a wedge between us and God, to where we lose out on the Lord ultimately. And we don't want that. But I want to consider just for a moment here in America. It's interesting that even with the unprecedented wealth and prosperity that America, according to statistics, is truly more depressed than ever before. Isn't that interesting? With everything we have handed to us, with all the opportunities, all the wealth, the conveniences, the everything we have at our fingertips, yet America is more depressed percentage-wise than ever before. In fact, the suicide rates continue to climb. And the depression, what's even scary is it's getting into the younger generations more and more and more. Well, we just heard the story recently of the little 12-year-old girl and just down the road in Goodman hung herself, didn't she? Committed suicide. That's sad. If it saddens us, how much do you think it saddens God? You know, when that, the potential of a young 12-year-old. But again, here in America, depression is the number one emotional disorder. It's number one. It is a problem. Now, the world will offer all kinds of remedies. They offer the medicines and other types of things. And maybe for some it helps a little bit, but the sad thing is a lot of those things have side effects. And then one medicine calls for another and another and another. And it's a never-ending ordeal. When truly the Lord is the answer. That's just saying it in a general sense, but it is true. And we'll get to more of that here in a moment. But we'll look at it this way. Jesus knew when he was speaking with his disciples. You know, when Jesus was crucified and he left, do you know what Peter said? He said, "I go fishing." You know, he was depressed. He really was. Just went back to doing what he was doing before. But I want to remind us, Peter did not stay in that state of mind. He did not stay. He did not linger there. And here's the other awesome thing. Jesus met him. Jesus knew Peter was down in the dumps. Jesus knew that. And Peter was a leader. And no doubt the rest of the disciples felt the same way. Just totally despondent, saying, all hope is gone, you know. Just kind of shrugged their shoulders and like, well, we'll just go back to doing what we were doing before. But you know, Jesus met them there. I want to remind us of a couple other examples in the Bible. You remember Elijah? Remember when he ran for his life from Jezebel, saying, after the mighty miracles were performed and all the prophets of Baal were slain and God licked up the sacrifice and the altar and everything and burned everything up. God did a mighty miracle there. And then she threatens his life and he's gone and he runs. And guess what? He was hiding. And he wished that just, this is it. I'm the only one left, God. This just, you know, just go ahead and take me, basically. But you know, Elijah didn't stop there. That wasn't the end. You know what God told him to do? God told him, get up and get going. I got something else for you. Go anoint this other king over here. And he did. So, in remembrance of what Jesus told the disciples in John 16 and 20, I'm just going to use this because Jesus knew the life was not going to be a bed of roses, but he warned them ahead of time. And even after Jesus met Peter there, and after the day of Pentecost, they had some more difficult times. They found themselves in prison. They found themselves persecuted. But in John 16, verse 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. You see, Jesus knew that his disciples were going to have a difficult time. They're going to have a time of weeping and sorrow. And he was trying to prepare them. But his plan wasn't for them to stay in that state of mind. To press on, let's go on to the next phase, the next stage. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be bombarded with nowadays that they didn't have back in the Bible times. I mentioned earlier in prayer requests, all the modern technology. You know, I have heard of folks and talked personally with them. In one day, they were bombarded in almost every imaginable way that they could be bombarded. Started out with a phone call in the morning about a particular issue, then some text, then some visitors drop by, then they go to the job and such happens, then something happens with their child, then something happens with their vehicle. The list goes on and on and on, all in one day. Still not the extent of Job, perhaps, but yet it's enough to really push some folks. And then, speaking with some of those same individuals, to realize that those type of things may go on for days and weeks. Maybe not to that magnitude, but just a continual bombardment. And after a while, a person feels overwhelmed. And that's when the discouragement settles in. You're kind of like, well, you know, well, surely things will turn around. And it just seems like they don't. And then it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And then a person can settle into a state of depression. And when a person settles into a state of depression, perhaps they're looking at themselves and just saying, you know what, I'm just a failure. If I was a better person, if I would have done this right, if I would have done that right, surely things would have been better. Perhaps there's some truth in that. But it's easy to blame yourself to the extent where you can't even forgive yourself. You're just like, I'm such a bad person. I just can't get over that. And I can't forgive myself. And you can't press through that. And then it gets to a point where a person, sometimes it may even, then you start feeling maybe, well, someone else failed me. You know, maybe they should have stepped up and helped me. You see what I'm saying? How, and the devil just plays with your mind and thinking, well, I failed and now the ones around me, they failed to see my need and now they failed me, you know. And then it's a vicious cycle. Just feeling lonely, feeling like no one really cares, feeling like, why even set any goals? Why even have any ambition in life? Just kind of floundering around. And then that's what I want to bring out here, that some symptoms of depression is a person that lacks interest. They just kind of don't really have any interest in anything. They lack motivation. Feelings of lethargy, just kind of like, don't want to do anything. Again, I mentioned earlier feelings of guilt and worthlessness. Just like, you know, man, I wish I would have done that or done this or done that different. Or I feel so worthless, can't do anything right. Just everything I try, everything I touch just falls apart and gets worse and worse. And then there's other things that can happen. A person, sometimes you can have a sleep problems, can't sleep. Other people, they can't really work or function properly just because their mind is so altered, can't focus. Then sometimes there's, if it's a companionship with a husband or wife, there's marriage problems or problems with the children. And things just seem to escalate. And again, that's where the discouragement phases into depression. And it can be quite alarming. Sometimes you'll notice in a person, they'll have extreme weight gain or extreme weight loss because their appetite's just taken. Or sometimes it's just the comforts of life. The only comfort they can find is eating. And that's what they do. But it's truly, you look around us and you look at sin and how it has wrecked our world. Consider the broken homes. Consider folks that get hooked on various types of drugs, other addictions. And it just tears families apart. And then they turn to different vices of the flesh to try to appease themselves, and it only gets them deeper. And then it's like the depression just snowballs. And of course, everyone is affected differently. Some will never want to face it or admit it. Say, I don't have a problem. Even when someone is confronted and saying, you know, I want to help you. You got a problem here. You're not like what you used to be. That's pretty bold, but sometimes that's what a person needs. But even then, sometimes they'll say, no, I'm fine. Just leave me alone. But do you know, really, sometimes deep down, that person really does need the help and they're actually wanting the help. But their automatic reflex is, no, don't want it. You know, as humans, we can't really break through that. You can try, and maybe with some you can be successful, but that's when a person really needs to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon this soul. Help me somehow. Bring something to their mind. Bring someone their way. Something to break that open. To realize, just to get them to admit they have a problem is the first step. That's with any problem-solving thing, is just face what the problem is. And then when you admit, or you recognize, or you help someone else recognize they have a problem, then there's actually a little glimmer of hope. I know it's hard to understand there, but a person that's in deep depression, they feel like everything is hopeless around them. Everything is helpless. There's nothing I can do. You know, everything just turns out wrong. No one understands. No one cares. And then even the devil can get a person to a state where they feel like God doesn't even really care. But the truth is, God does. I gave you just a couple examples of Elijah. And of course, Peter. And there's others. Moses was another one that he found himself in some difficult situations. And just, but yet, God had mercy on him too. So to consider something else, to dig into this at another angle, some causes of depression. We already spoke about some of that. It's something that is prolonged. It's a prolonged stress. You know, I've known of individuals that it seems like they persevere for a long time. And I know underneath everything, they're having some serious pressure and stresses along different areas. And you watch them, and sure enough, you find out they're having a struggle. And it's cumulative. It's just like I mentioned earlier, it's like a snowball. And it can be from various things. Like I said, from personal failures to feeling like other people failed you. Relationship issues. Just can't get along with this individual or that individual. Issues on the job. Or even issues with children or grandchildren. Many things that can touch a person. And again, everyone's different. But then there's also another side. People that deal with or don't know how to deal with grief. Maybe the loss of a loved one or loss of a job, great financial loss, just things that just seem unsurmountable. And again, it's a feeling of great hopelessness. I feel like there's no hope. There's no end in sight. I want to remind us of a scripture. This is the caution. In Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And there's also scriptures in Philippians 4:8 talks about think on these things. You see, the devil would want us to think upon all the bad things, all the negative things, all the failures, all the, you name it. In fact, and this is from personal experience, sometimes, everyone's a little different, but I remember different times even being, I just want to like write down all the bad things, you know, just get it down on paper. But you know, God has checked me. I'm not saying if you've done that, that that's wrong. That's not my point. But you know what God challenged me to do? As the song says, count your blessings. And then I start writing down all the positive things, all the answers to prayer. You know, I still have a list in my Bible that I wrote several years ago of several answers to prayer. Not just for myself individually, but others in the congregation. This is over 10 years ago. And I still have that list, and I've added to that list. And you know what? It's encouraging just to get that list out every once in a while and think, wow. It brings glory to God, because I start looking at those, I'm thinking, man, that seemed insurmountable in that situation. I'm like, how? But yet, there's the answer to prayer. God intervened. God answered prayer. God gave deliverance. And you know, it's those type of things, and this is where I want to switch gears here a little bit, and that is talk about how to deal with depression. You know, there were some famous individuals that battled depression. One of them was Abraham Lincoln. Another one was Winston Churchill. Another one was Robert E. Lee, the famous general during the Confederate War, or Civil War for the Confederates. It was said even of Churchill that he confessed to others that he often battled desperate thoughts, even so much as ways to end his life. That seems pretty bizarre, because he was the one that also came up with the famous speech, a five-word speech, never, never, never give up. But you see, one of the things he found that was a remedy, a solution to his depression, was to make himself active in helping others. You see? It was switching the focus from yourself and possibly some of your own failures, your helplessness, your losses, everything, refocusing from yourself and focusing on others that stand in need too. And he found that once he shifted the focus in helping others, that it helped cure some of his discouragement and depression. You know, I think God is behind that. Because we are here for one another, are we not? Just like the song that we sang earlier. We need each other, brethren. And I'm going to expound upon that again. It's not just for the church. I think that is the most important. But it goes beyond that. It's helping our fellow man, our neighbor. Scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. You see anyone in need, I don't care what race, what gender, what anything. If they are in need, we have an obligation to help them. And if we can't physically help them, pray for them. Intervene for them. Say, God, I don't know what the need is, but you know who it is, and you know how to help them. That, again, is reaching out to someone else. That is shifting the focus from yourself and putting on helping others. That's a very key element in dealing with depression. Another thing was to cultivate healthy relationships, friendships with other folks that that have ambitions on serving God and that have gotten the victory over depression and discouragement. Cultivate those relationships. Ask them, well, you know, how'd you do that? Or can you help me? You know, type of thing. And if you know of folks that are battling with depression, I think one of the things to consider is Sometimes they don't know, they don't realize how severe it is themselves. It's others on the outside that start looking on the situation realizing they need some help. And here's the thing. You know, the scripture says it is more blessed to give than receive. Sometimes you'll find someone that's in a state of depression where it's like they don't want to receive anything. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's like they just don't want, they don't want the help. They think they're okay, don't worry about it. But I want to say, you know, there is a respectful and tactful way that we can receive help from others. Because God has a special blessing on others that are wanting to give. And I'm not talking about someone that just forces, you know, barges in on your life and your privacy and says, well, let me do this and this and this and this and this. That's not what I'm talking about. But someone that you know has a genuine concern and been praying, trying to help. Sometimes the best thing to do is just allow them to do that. And Lord, help us to give us wisdom on knowing how to do that. Because in the end, Lord, help us. I wouldn't want to make it to the judgment day and realize that I had an opportunity to help someone and I passed it up. Because it was too challenging. It was going to take too much of my time or too much of my effort or too much of whatever. And I just kind of passed it up. So, well, I'll whisper a prayer for him and I'm going to go on my way. And in the end, for God to say to us, you had an opportunity and you passed it up. Lord, help us. That's a challenge for all of us. Here's another thing. Not only cultivating healthy relationships and being active helping others, but another thing is, now, again, part of this goes to personalities. Don't stay to yourself all the time. Some personalities like their private little space and like, just give me my space. I'm going to tell you something. There is something to good friendships. There's something to being around someone to get the positive vibes from them, the positive attitude. And I'm not just talking about just being positive is what's going to make you successful in life. That's not my point. But yet, there is an element, as I mentioned earlier, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you continually beat yourself down, you're probably going to stay in a beaten down state. That's just a fact of life. I'll give you an example. And this is just with something other than the human race. Even dogs. I've talked to some individuals that have trained dogs. In fact, I'm friends with a couple that rescued a dog from a terrible situation. The dog, she was, looked pitiful. And she cowered down and had a fear of just anything. And was like uncontrollable at times too. They had a great, and it came to the point where they just about took her back to the Humane Society or whatever, wherever it was they rescued her. But they buckled down and you're like, you know what? She's worth saving. And this is just a dog, okay? But what they realized was they had to spend some very close personal time with them to gain the confidence, to let them realize, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just here to help you. And it took time, and it took time, and it took effort. If the dog was left by itself, it was of no use, you see. And so I believe in our human relationships, if we're left to ourselves, what good are we, really? And if we stay to ourselves, what good are we? But to learn how to cooperate and interact and to cultivate meaningful relationships and friendships can go a long ways to our relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm just saying it goes a long way. You remember, even in the Bible, Paul and Silas, can you imagine if Paul would have been by himself? I'm not saying he wouldn't have made it when he was in prison there. But having Silas by his side, I promise you, made a big difference for each other. And they both sang and prayed in prison, and God delivered them. You know, as the scripture says too, I believe it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, says two are better than one. A lot of times that's used in marriages and marriage ceremonies, but it's true. Just brotherhood, sisterhood in the church, friendships, two are better than one. God puts a special blessing on that. And I think one of the greatest things, well, it is the greatest thing, is the privilege that we have of the Holy Spirit to be the comforter, the most powerful comforter we could ever have. Because there does come, there are times in a person's life when someone else has gone as far as they can do, and maybe we've received or someone else has received a lot of help from a lot of people and a lot of things, but there comes a place where only the Holy Spirit can go, that only He can provide that perfect healing balm. It's something that He can speak words of comfort out of the scriptures or out of songs that we sing or whatever it is, or bring someone's testimony back to mind. And it can be at the darkest hour, sometimes at night when you're awake and you can't sleep, and the Holy Spirit can come in and whisper these words of comfort and cheer and encouragement and remind us of the scripture in John 16 and 33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." And we were singing about that earlier. The only real peace I have is in the Lord. But it also says, the rest of this verse, "In the world ye shall," not might, "ye shall have tribulation." But He didn't stop there either. He said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, that's something we need to remind ourselves of frequently. That yes, we will have tribulation. That's a promise. Some of the promises like that one you really don't like. God's saying, "I promise you, you will have tribulation." But the other promise is, "In me, you'll have the peace." And be of good cheer, by the way, I overcame the world. So the number one source of lifting us out of the discouragement and the depression is, of course, the Lord. Using the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come in and provide what no one else can provide. And there's ways too, I believe, as Apostle Paul says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know what that's talking about? Sometimes it's just a matter of humility and acknowledging, "Lord, now I see I have some weaknesses here and here and here." And when we admit that to the Lord and to ourselves, then God can do something with that and then make that a strength, you see. Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to stay in this condition of just, I'm unable to get over that and to get over that and to get the victory here and the victory there. When God is saying, I've overcome the world. Just come and trust my might, as the song says. Come and trust my might. See how strong I am. Test my strength. That's what He's wanting us to do. To where our strength is made perfect in weakness. And I mentioned this not too long ago. The bigger the battle, the bigger the fight, the bigger the victory. So I want us to be encouraged tonight that whether you yourself have battled discouragement or even further depression, or maybe you know of someone else that's been battling depression, God has the victory. He really does. God hasn't lost any of His power. As I mentioned earlier, there's many other individuals that have battled depression, and God delivered them. And I'll just say this, those that lost, In other words, those that did not get the victory over discouragement or depression, that's a great loss. God could have done so much more. But the key lies within us. How much are we willing to trust the might of the Lord? How much are we willing to extend ourselves, get out of our comfort zone, and push through the flesh? Because it is so easy just to stay wrapped up in yourself, just your own little cocoon, and everything's nice and cozy here, and let the world go by. They got their own issues. I got mine, and just leave it that way. I want to tell us something. As a little saying I've said before, a man wrapped up in himself is a small package. God has so much more He could do with you and me. If we could get outside of ourselves and trust the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't even think I can do that. Well, we can't in our own. But with God, all things are possible. These are basic scriptures, basic truths we've heard all of our life. But God is just waiting for someone to step out on faith and really try it. Really do it. And that may be the first step in getting out of discouragement or depression. Or that may be the first step of helping someone else get out of discouragement or depression. Just to step out on faith and say, okay, Lord, You said in Your Word, as the Scripture says in Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The Lord, little by little, I'm going to work my way out of this. I know there's hope. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It may be a tiny little speck of light, but I see something there. I see the victory. And by God's grace, I can make it. You know, that's the attitude God wants to hear. And that's a soul that God can help. When they've turned their attention to the Lord, then He's saying, I got you. I'll help you. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to help your loved one through this, whatever it is. So let's all be encouraged here tonight to press the battle on and to realize, as another song says, there's too much to gain to lose. You pray for me.